from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now it's 6 on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area. New evacuation orders right now as the Dixie Fire rages on in Plumas and Butte counties, the areas where people are being told to get out now.
And a live look outside here in the Bay Area. Big changes could be coming to our air quality and a chance for more lightning.
And we have the very latest on a deadly highway shooting, a shooting that killed a woman and nearly killed a baby.
And in the right place at the right time, an Oakland firefighter set to battle the Dixie Fire. Fire jumps into action for a different kind of rescue. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Juliette Goodrich. We start with our fire watch in Plumas and Butte counties, where the Dixie Fire has combined with the Fly Fire overnight. More than 190,000 acres have burned. This is video from last night showing flames ripping through several structures as thousands of more remain threatened. Now, the blaze is just more than 20% contained, and with low moisture and steep terrain, it makes it difficult for crews to battle the flames. We have more on new evacuations in that area in just a moment.
But back in the Bay Area, taking a live look outside, our mostly clear skies could soon change because of that Dixie Fire. And for more on that, here's Darren.
Brian, there's still a lot of smoke coming off the Dixie Fire, but it's becoming a little harder to pick it out from the clouds because they're really starting to increase, which is story number two I'll get to in a second. Our chance for lightning by early this week. But there's the plume of smoke coming off of the Dixie Fire. I'm going to switch from satellite to the high-resolution forecast model. Deeper the purple, the higher the concentration of smoke. Here we are at home. It's not too bad now, but watch what happens as we play it through over the next 2 days. Smoke starts to get pulled our way. Just like that possibility of thunderstorms is going to get pulled our way, both of them coming from the east, but one item at a time. This is smoke in the mid to upper levels of the atmosphere. By Tuesday, there's a lot more of it here, meaning the sky is going to look a bit hazy. But what we care about is what's the air quality like down here at the ground. And that is a different story. And you can look at that forecast model just looking at the lower elevations, the lower levels of the atmosphere, and it is a much better story. So perhaps it's only a moderate to unhealthy for sensitive group scenario by Tuesday. Good news there. This is more concerning. There's a lot of lightning right now in the desert southwest, and that is going to start getting pushed back into California. It's going to be a busy 48 hours. I'm going to track our possibility for thunderstorms in the complete forecast in just a few minutes. Back over to you guys.
All righty, thanks, Darren. The Dixie Fire is prompting new mandatory evacuations tonight. Neighbors near the east shore of Lake Almanor, the latest area, being told to evacuate. Reporter Heather Jansen spoke with one man who had to leave his home.
It looks like a horror film to be.
An apocalyptic scene.
Panic mode kind of hit.
Jake Edwards capturing firefighters lighting backfires in hopes of containing the Dixie Fire in Plumas County. The pictures show the flames, orange skies, and an ashy lake, his neighborhood in an evacuation warning zone. But several of his neighbors already told to leave.
It's really taking a toll on all of Plumas County.
Spreading in Plumas County, the fire already burning hundreds of thousands of acres in Butte County. Now merging with the Fly Fire, another nearby blaze. Conditions in a remote location at California's biggest fire so far this year, not ideal for fire crews, as they all come from across the state working the fire lines.
One team, one fight.
Sac Metro Fire, among those agencies, moving from fires in Oregon's right back to Northern California. Captain Chris Vestal says the constant shifts in firefights take a toll.
Coming right on back of each other, it does become endurance game. It's almost like an endurance sport for the entire summer.
With more than 5,000 people fighting these fires, Plumas County neighbors like Jake just hope it soon comes to an end.
It's just been absolutely bizarre, you know, with all the smoke and you can't breathe.
You know, families are now returning home and assessing any damage in parts of Alpine County after being forced to clear out by the Tamarack Fire. Dozens of communities, including Markleyville, Alpine Village, and Markley Village, have been cleared by fire crews. Mandatory evacuations are still in place for Blue Lakes Road and the State Route 4 corridor. The massive fire has burned more than 60,000 acres. It is 27% contained tonight.
A highway shooting in the East Bay nearly missed an infant, but killed the woman driving the car and injured a juvenile passenger. The deadly car-to-car shooting happened on the westbound lanes of Highway 4 near the Port Chicago Highway off Rapid Concord, right next to the Diablo Creek Golf Course. And that is where KPX 5's Don Lynn is, live near the freeway at the latest. Do they have any idea what the motive was?
Yeah, Brian, the CHP believes it was a targeted shooting, but no motive. They don't know if it was road rage or something else. The car actually crashed into a guardrail up there and came to a stop at this Port Chicago off-ramp. The driver's side of this black Toyota Camry is riddled with bullet holes. At least half a dozen shots hit the car. The CHP says the driver, a 24-year-old woman, died from multiple gunshot wounds. They say a minor in the passenger seat was also hit by multiple bullets. He has moderate injuries and is expected to survive. A bullet shattered the backseat window, barely missing a baby in the car seat. Investigators say the baby was very lucky. They interviewed witnesses who stopped to help and shut down all westbound lanes for hours to gather evidence.
It's kind of shocking to hear that it happened so close to our home.
The car-to-car shooting happened around 6:30 Saturday evening on a stretch of Highway 4 that doesn't have any surveillance cameras. But investigators are checking freeway cameras and license plate readers installed between Antioch and Pittsburgh for clues. Law enforcement put in those devices in 2018 after they responded to 136 shootings in less than 3 years, mostly on Highway 4 and Interstate 80. In those shootings, the CHP says 8 people were killed and dozens more injured. The CHP hasn't provided any recent freeway shooting statistics, but there's been a lot less during the pandemic.
People are just, I think, sitting in home or being, you know, in that shutdown phase last year. I think people are just so antsy and anxious now. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but you know, everybody just got to try to stay calm and cool and just remember we're all in the same situation and just treat everybody with respect.
Don, we know the female driver was 24 years old. Is there any more information about the occupants of the car?
Right. Yeah, the CHP would not say how the woman or the victims, how they're all related in the car. They would not even release the name of that woman who was killed until they can notify her family members first. We do know that they were driving in this area, so it's hard to say which area that they're from, but the CHP is looking into that. They're also saying that they don't have any suspects at this point. No one is arrested, and they have not released any information about the suspect vehicle either. So they're trying to gather as much as they can.
All right, a lot to work on for them. In Concord, that is Don Lynn. Thank you.
New at 6, firefighters assigned to the Dixie Fire save a boy from drowning. An Oakland firefighter was among those helping and recalls the emotional moment in a video Cal Fire put together.
I do have kids. I have 4. So, you know, like, it's hard not to look at a kid and go, hey, you know, it could be my kid.
The firefighters jumped the fence at a Reading hotel after hearing a mother scream for help. They performed CPR on a 10-year-old boy until he responded, and that boy is expected to be okay.
Well, 2 crashes in the South Bay overnight. The first one happening just after midnight in Los Altos. Witnesses say it appeared that one car was driving the wrong way on southbound 280 when it collided head-on with a truck. 2 victims were pulled from the cars. There's no word on their conditions. The second in Milpitas at around 4 o'clock in the morning. Witnesses say one car was involved in a rollover accident on southbound 680. 2 people apparently ejected from that vehicle and treated on scene. No word on the extent of their injuries.
In Antioch, police say 3 people were hurt during a shootout outside a liquor store. This happening just after midnight on Saturday near East 18th Street in Cavallo Road. Officers say 3 gunmen opened fire on 2 people who shot back. Those suspects ran away before police arrived. Now, one of the suspects was later found nearby with a gunshot wound. All 3 are expected to survive. Another suspect was later arrested. The 3rd is still on the run. This evening.
And a live look at West Contra Costa County, where the public school district is helping students get protected from COVID before heading back to the classroom. As KPX5's Devin Feeler reports, tomorrow the district's hosting a vaccine clinic.
Because of COVID, doctors' offices were closed. It was hard to get appointments.
With the start of the new school year less than a month away, the West Contra Costa County Unified School District is holding a vaccination clinic to make sure that students get their mandatory shots, like for the measles, while also giving them a chance to get the COVID-19 vaccine as well.
The COVID-19 vaccine right now is only eligible for those 12 and up, and it's not a mandated requirement that's necessary for like school enrollment. Tdap, polio, MMR, varicella, those are required. So
Bobby Jordan, the district's communication director, says the school system is not tracking whether or not students have been vaccinated for COVID-19. When school starts on August 16th, he says everyone, teachers and students, will be wearing masks. They will practice physical distancing wherever possible and have other safety measures in place.
As we're following the California Department of Health guidelines, what they have recommended is that anyone indoors, regardless of vaccination status, will be required to wear a mask.
It's been nearly a year and a half since students in West Contra Costa have been to school in the classroom in person. There's a lot of work to be done to catch kids up, and the clinic is an effort to remove any obstacles before the first day of class. Devin Feely, KPIX 5.
Clinic will be open tomorrow at Richmond High School from 10 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening.
Live look now at San Mateo County, where starting tomorrow, there will be new mask mandates in place. Everyone will be required to mask up inside all county buildings, regardless of vaccination status, due to a spike in cases. Two suspects have been arrested in connection with the alleged vandalism of a Black Lives Matter mural in Santa Cruz, both accused of causing tire tread marks along the mural in front of City Hall.
Reporter Stephanie Aceves has the latest details.
Tensions ran high during the community meeting discussing the vandalism of the BLM mural painted on the street in front of Santa Cruz City Hall. Investigators arrested and charged 20-year-old Brennan Beauchat and 19-year-old Hagen Warren for felony vandalism and conspiracy to commit a felony. Both are accused of taking turns burning out and intentionally marking the mural. Now, there are questions and arguments among residents whether or not this incident constitutes as a hate crime.
This wasn't a simple act of vandalism. This was a terrorist act against a Black community.
First lap, seeing some more stuff that's never had a community.
For now, Santa Cruz police say they're collecting evidence needed to make the case, and if the elements are met, we'll seek the appropriate charges.
So determining whether it was an impact on the organization or the individuals who comprise the organization will be an important piece. We believe that taking a look at the media accounts of those people might boost it to that level.
The mural did take extensive damage, with tire marks starting from beginning to the end of the lettering. Police say grooves are dug into the piece itself, and there may be some damage to the road. For community members, the defacing of the mural is symbolic.
It definitely sends an emotional and damaging psychological message of, you know, there's a segment in the community that doesn't want you.
Our anger is righteous. This is not about just some rubber on paint. This is about 600 years of continued nonstop onslaught genocide of Black and brown people the world over. And when situations happen like this, they trigger us.
That was Stephanie Aceves reporting. The two men have not been charged with a hate crime. Police say they are still looking for more suspects involved with the vandalism.
Civil rights leader Bob Moses has died, aged 86. Moses worked tirelessly to dismantle segregation. He was shot and endured beatings in jail while leading Black voter registration drives in the South during the 60s. In the 80s, Moses worked to improve minority education in math. And Hollywood and fans are mourning the loss of rabbi-turned-comedian Jackie Mason. His witty stand-up comedy, often about being Jewish, led him to Catskill nightclubs, West Coast talk shows, and appearances on Broadway. Mason died last night at a New York hospital after being hospitalized for more than 2 weeks. Jackie Mason was 93.
Fans and advocates rallied in San Francisco today to show their support for pop superstar Britney Spears. They gathered at the corner of Market and Castro Streets to bring attention to her ongoing conservatorship battle.
Besides just Britney and the conservatorship, there's millions of other people that are in the same situation, and it's just abusive, and it's also women's rights, you know, her body, her choice. The list goes on. It's just abusive, and just awareness for other people in abusive conservatorships as well.
Spears has been trying to break free from her father's control of her estate. He claims he's in control of her money, not her life choices. The next hearing in the legal battle is scheduled for September 29th. Southern California, one nonprofit was hoping some cannabis would help entice people to get a COVID shot. So it hosted a Joints for Jabs event in Long Beach this weekend. The group handing out $10 in cash, Starbucks gift cards, and marijuana dispensary credit to anyone who came by and got a COVID vaccine.
Live look at Capitol Hill. A second Republican has been appointed to the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi named Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger to join the panel. Kinzinger says that he's a dedicated Republican, and he always will answer with duty when duty calls him to defend the Constitution. Last week, Pelosi rejected two of the five Republicans tapped for the panel by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. McCarthy tweeted this today. The speaker has structured the select committee to satisfy her political objectives, which destroys its credibility. The U.S. Capitol and all who protect it suffered a massive leadership failure. Republicans will focus on ensuring that never happens again. The committee is investigating the January 6th riot and the role former President Trump might have played. It's set to hold its first hearing on Tuesday.
Well, one of San Francisco's most iconic events is making a comeback. It's a dimmed-down version of the Folsom Street Fair, and it returned today. Looked a little different than years past. Instead of the usual events, this year was called Folsom Street Market and was more vendor-focused. There was also a new tent giving out the COVID vaccine.
There was a lot more people than I expected, and I've been prolonging on getting my vaccination because of what I've heard on social media and stuff, but I saw that the station was here today, and I just decided, you know what, it's my life, let's take care of this.
Instead of the typical Folsom Street Fair, organizers will be returning on September 26th for an event called Megahood 2021. And check this out. Look at this. We're getting new video. It's of a drag queen roller disco in Oakland. People are coming together right now at the Oakland Township Commons for some roller skating, live disco music, and drag shows. This event was created during quarantine to help local drag performers.
All of the drag performers that we love here in the Bay Area were out of work. And so we wanted to create more spaces for them to engage with the public and to, you know, keep them alive. We're struggling artists out here. We're just trying to stay here in the Bay Area. And it's super important for us to create spaces like this where our audience can come and support the art that we love and that makes the Bay Area so special.
Absolutely. And this party will be rolling until 8 tonight.
And coming up, see the dramatic moments, officers and bystanders. Two people are in custody after trying to smuggle drugs that were disguised as a cake. The Drug Enforcement Agency in Maine stopped a car on Tuesday. They found 4 pounds of cocaine and about $2,000 in cash in the trunk. A block of cocaine was found inside cake packaging. Street value of all of the cocaine is about $200,000. Suspects are facing aggravated trafficking charges, and authorities say they could be behind bars for 20 years.